Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Welcome into our number three of the G-Bag Nation. Got it. Yep, number three there. Jeff Cavanaugh, Brian Broaddus, and Lucius Alexander with you on a freaky Friday. Football Friday. Fun Friday. Booming and zooming Friday. Lucius has his Friday shirt on. I don't know if you guys have seen that on 1053thefan.com/fancam. He's rocking the Friday shirt. And I can't tell. Are you zooming or booming today, Lucius? One or the other?
Yeah, I'm zooming. Carefully, though. I had some red beans and rice earlier, and I told you it's got a hold of me.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Brian, you been okay? You feeling okay?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did Carter messed up on that red beans and rice? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he ran on out of here, man.
He ran on out of here, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's good and full.
How does it stack up with Popeyes? It's the only reference point I have for red beans and rice.
It's good. It's got the sausage in it. You know how Broaddus does.
Yes.
I got the red beans and rice here for you, boys. Put some meat on your bones, boys, so the Rona won't get to you.
Sausage has some kick to it?
It's got some kick to it, man.
Got some kick?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Feeling great. Look at Broaddus looking at me. How are you doing there, boys?
Is that how I sound?
That's how I sound. That's how I sound.
877-881-1053. Anything you'd like to say in retaliation, Brian?
All good, man.
It sounded like a personal attack. You fed that man. And
yeah.
877-881-1053 is the Auto Plus Leasing fan text. What division has the best receivers? Remember, you can have some really good ones, but if you got some really bad ones on other teams, that'll pull you down now. We go through the list, see where the Dallas Cowboys and the NFC East rank. Remember that I said if other teams are bad, it can pull you down. The worst receivers in the league, Brian. They reside in the same place where the worst quarterbacks in the league reside. The AFC East.
AFC East? Yep.
We might have to revisit the quarterback thing now that Cam Newton exists. Jarrett Stidham was something that was really pulling this division down in my mind. Now that they got Cam, Darnold, Josh Allen, and Tua eventually.
Oh, no, they just got bad receivers. They've got bad receivers. The Bills are okay. The Bills are fine. Yeah,
John Brown,
John Brown. Yeah, exactly. But when you start talking, Parker's not bad, but then you start Allen Hurns, Albert Wilson.
Preston Williams is in the mix there for the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets are running out Breshad Perriman, Denzel Mims, and Jamison Crowder. Now, we like Mims.
We did.
We like the Baylor man, and we hope he's good. But that ain't real impressive.
Not as compared to the other divisions.
The Patriots are running out a great wide receiver core. Edelman makes good money. Mohamed Sanu was a second-round pick they traded for him. N'Keal Harry was a first-round pick. They're going to be great, Brian. That's an awful wide receiver group. Terrible.
Misevaluated that one.
Terrible. Who did?
No, the New England. That might be their Achilles heel.
We couldn't play.
They can't evaluate the wide receiver play there.
If any team wants to hire me in the NFL, Jerry, if you're listening, if you just want me to do the wide receivers, I'll do it for $723. Venmo me that, and each year I'll just send you my rankings, okay? It's cheaper than what you're paying right now for them getting scouted, I promise. Number seven, seventh best division. Or the second worst at wide receiver. That'd be the AFC South. Colts got T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman, and Paris Campbell. There's nothing wrong with T.Y. Hilton.
Nope.
And I think Michael Pittman will be the sort of receiver that can translate pretty quickly. Paris Campbell's been a little bit of a disappointment for them so far. Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville is I call them the DraftKings team.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody last year respects DJ Chark, D.D. Westbrook, or Keelan Cole, which means you could slide them in real cheap and you can then get your premium players because you were sliding in a Jags receiver because somebody has to catch the ball, and that's who did it.
We'll see what Chenault does there.
True. He should probably bump one of those guys off the field a good
amount of time. Yeah, I would hope so.
Houston Texans are rocking Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb. There is nothing wrong with that if Cooks is healthy. There is nothing wrong with that. And the Titans are rocking A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Adam Humphries. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a terrible division. Turns out there's a lot of good wide receivers in the NFL, Brian. That's what I'm starting to learn here.
Mm-hmm.
In sixth place, the NFC North. Bears, eh. Allen Robinson, I want to tell our audience something here real quick. What's happened to Allen Robinson in his career is criminal. If Allen Robinson had played with good quarterbacks, I think that's potentially Hall of Fame talent, but he just keeps playing with bums, and he's so good. Allen Robinson is so good, but has never really had a chance. Their other guys are Anthony Miller and Riley Ridley. Lions, Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola. Yeah, love Golladay. Beat Danny Amendola in a flag football tournament at Valley Ranch right before he started in the NFL. Took him down. He was good, though. Are you surprised to find out that Danny Amendola was pretty good at flag?
Yeah, well, Nick Eatman will tell you the story about Tony Romo, quarterback in their flag football team one year when he was the third quarterback.
Yeah?
Yeah. He went out there and played, helped Nick and them.
They get tore up.
They got beat.
At least their quarterback could throw, but
yeah, they got
tore
beat.
Up.
Yeah.
Packers, Davante Adams, Allen Lazard, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I cannot believe that the Packers are going to run that back out there. They took a quarterback and a running back in the first two rounds and did not address that Allen Lazard and Marquez Valdes-Scantling are real things that are going to play for them. They're going to play. Okay.
Trust their quarterback.
Yeah.
He's like the second best quarterback in the league, according to...
I think that
all the general managers,
third,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, second or third.
The Vikings, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, and Tajay Sharp. That's the sixth best division in football, they say. And let me know if you think any of these are out of whack, if you think they ruined it. Because, you know, I will absolutely ban somebody from the show. The 817 does know who number one is. They texted in. They said it's this division, no doubt. And they started naming players. Number five is the AFC North. A.J. Green's the wild card here because if you have a healthy A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins makes a smooth transition,
yep,
the Bengals could be fun.
Oh, this is this. I did my own ranking, and they were number five on my list.
Okay. Your boy Burrow has got something to work with.
He does.
Here.
He sure does.
The Browns, as long as my guy Odell is recovered from his sports hernia surgery, Odell, Jarvis Landry, and Hollywood Higgins, who is a local product. He's from here. Ravens, Hollywood Brown, Miles Boykin, Willie Snead. Not impressive. They don't care. They have Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, they got DuVernay and Porche, though, too. A couple of Texas kids.
I think that's probably a nice fit.
It is a good fit.
Hollywood Brown, you run fast. Mm-hmm. We got these big old tight ends. Now give me the shifty route runners, and we're ready to rock.
Right.
The Steelers, Juju, my guy Deontay Johnson out of Toledo, and James Washington. Meh. Meh.
Chase Claypool's there, by the way, too. Did you like him? Notre Dame?
He confused me. He's huge. He tested as an incredible athlete, and I'm out there watching him not be able to get off press coverage in college.
Okay.
Number four, the AFC West.
I had that one right, too.
Look at you. Well, it's not right or wrong, Brian.
No, I mean, I just
whatever
my ranking.
Whatever your list is more right than this one.
I'm a little worried because I'm using my list as kind of parallel to their list right now. I'm worried about this.
You're kind of dead on?
Yeah, I'm dead on, and I'm worried if I'm wrong.
Number four is the West. Broncos are Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and KJ Hamler. That is young, but that is fun. Boy, I'm going to want to watch Denver games. Drew Lock throwing to KJ Hamler, if you don't know him, out of Penn State, is an absolute blur.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jeudy is a blur, and Cortland Sutton is a monster. That's fun. Chargers, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Andre Patton?
That's him.
Chiefs, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, McCole Hardman. we need to give Pat his proper respect, because Sammy Watkins is not what he was supposed to be when he came in the league. And Mecole Hardman's nice, but it's not like he's a high-volume guy. Yeah, he's got a great tight end. He's got Tyreek Hill, but he doesn't have the Cowboys receivers or anything. Raiders, Henry Ruggs, Tyrell Williams, and Hunter Renfro.
Throw Brian Edwards in there.
There you go.
South Carolina.
Maybe come take some snaps from Renfro. Maybe some from Tyrell Williams.
You never liked Zay Jones was another one?
I used to. Okay. But you only get so many years in the league before I have to give up on
Nelson Aguilar there, too.
Zay started off in Buffalo, didn't he?
He sure did.
Is that where? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you've already washed out, I'm good. I'm done with you. At number three, the Dallas Cowboys put the whole division on their back and carry them to being the third-ranked division when it comes to wide receiver play, because Washington is Terry McLaurin, who's good, Steven Sims Jr., and Trey Quinn. That ain't real good.
No.
Giants, Darius Slayton, who was a really nice surprise last year. Golden Tate's okay, and Sterling Shepard's okay. So that's just, okay. Eagles are trying to trade Alshon Jeffrey. They don't know what they're going to do with DeSean Jackson. And Jalen Reagor is the third one. That's okay. But those Dallas Cowboys, Brian. Those Dallas Cowboys. Amari Gallup and CeeDee. Oh. Oh, it's so lovely. I'm ready to play football. Run those three out there. They say we had the discussion in Slack yesterday and came to the conclusion it's entirely possible the Cowboys already have the three best receivers in the division. One, two, and three. Let's go. Number two is the NFC West.
Oh, man.
Did you get the exact same? You made your list the exact same as them, didn't you?
I didn't have the NFC East in my top five.
Because of the other three teams.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hating on CeeDee Lamb right now?
No, I'm not.
Are you hating on Michael Gallup right now?
Nope.
Hating on Cooper?
I'm hating on the Giants, the Eagles, Redskins. That's what I'm hating on.
Okay. Two is the NFC West for them. Deebo, Brandon Ayuk.
This was tough.
Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins, yeah. Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald. And we better not forget my tiny guy, Andy Isabella. Rams, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Josh Reynolds.
Cooper Kupp. Big-time player.
He's good. Seahawks, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Philip Dorsett.
Wrong about that. Metcalf.
He's good. We weren't wrong. He still can't turn. Wait, we weren't wrong. We had him as a first-round grade.
I think you did. I think I was wrong about him.
Oh, you're a hater.
I was a hater.
Cowboys should have picked him in the second round. They could have.
They could have.
Then we go four wide. We can get Jarwin off the field. Or we can take the running back off the field. Dak could be the running back.
Play Metcalf and tie it in.
However, I mean, you just run out. Yeah, take Zeke off the field.
Oh, there we
Metcalf
go.
Put Metcalf in. And now we'll go five wide. One of Jarwin can still play. And now we only run when it's a three-man box, and it's just Dak running up the middle and sliding. It'll be great. And the number one division for wide receiver play, and, yeah, I think everybody has to agree with this, is the NFC South.
And I got this right.
They probably have the two best receivers in the league. Michael Thomas and Julio Jones, and the Saints added Emmanuel Sanders to Michael Thomas. Traquan Smith's probably the third guy.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers are okay.
DJ Moore?
Yeah, Moore's good. Robbie Anderson's not bad. Hopefully Curtis Samuel can give him a little something. But the Falcons got Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. What, Russell Gage is their third probably?
Yeah. They got Treadwell there. That's your guy.
Okay. Do we have to do this today?
We're talking about wide receivers. Since I reminded you about my love or lack of love for Metcalf, I'll remind you for your love of Treadwell.
You loved him too.
I'm saying. I'm with you on this. But
877-881-1053. Who's the guy you thought was going to be really good that wasn't? Since that's what we're doing now. This has turned into. Panthers, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson,
Curtis
Samuel.
You're telling Jerry you want a job evaluating wide receivers. I'm just reminding you of Treadwell.
Well, I'll have to do a deeper dive. I won't go straight tape. I'll have to ask about the guy. You know, like, hey.
That's a whole other segment about that guy.
Let's talk about his playbook ability. Can he take in what's happening?
That we didn't know. That was absolutely true. We didn't know that.
I refuse to take blame for it. I will not apologize. Not my fault. He has
terrible
talent.
Scout.
He's a talented guy. Whoever coached him failed him. Zimmer, get it together up there. And the Buccaneers, of course, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Tyler Johnson out of Minnesota, maybe be the third guy?
That's him, yeah.
That's going to be a great landing spot for him. He's going to be wide open at all times. So that's number one. What did your order look like?
I had the NFC South, the NFC West, and then I did the – where was my next one there?
Uh-oh.
So I lost – I didn't have the East in there, though.
Maybe the AFC West?
I just did four. I just did top four.
Oh, you didn't
– Yeah.
Just didn't want to give anybody their credit.
I didn't want to give anybody their credit. Okay. Southwest, and then the AFC West, and then the AFC North.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cowboys are going to win the division, Brian. You starting to realize that yet? Are you hesitant to say that because we know if they hear it, they'll get all cocky?
No.
They're going to win the division. Brandon Brooks getting hurt is the reason they're going to win the division.
Well, because you're in a situation, though, too, where you've got some issues in that offensive line as well. You don't have your center. You don't have a solid left guard.
I can't believe your lack of faith in the Connors and Biotish. Really,
it's not. No. Biotish, I think, will be fine. Connor Williams is a guy I've waited for a couple of years. I understood he wasn't strong enough. Put on some weight, and now he's fighting for his job. He should have been able to hold that job. He's battling a guy that didn't play a snap last year, didn't practice at all.
I hope that guy goes and gets the job.
Yeah.
Let's go, Connor McGovern. All right, coming up next is Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. So I'm going to look at Brian and say, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
Oh, no, he didn't plan it out. Brian, that's all right. We got tons of stuff. We got JD audio.
That's right. Yeah, okay.
But that's what I, okay.
I thought you had this one.
We'll hear from JD next here on the fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to hear from the Rangers general manager, John Daniels. He was on earlier with the KMC masterpiece. Or I guess it was the MC masterpiece today is what you had there. This segment brought to you by My Computer Career and Rubin & Associates. Mark Rubin, Rubin & Associates. If you're facing foreclosure or repossession, IRS, credit card, or medical debt, you don't have to face that alone. With one phone call, Mark Rubin can take the weight off your shoulders, manage debt, protect your property, get you living life again. Call Mark right now at 1-800-LAWYERS. That's Mark Rubin, Rubin & Associates at 1-800-LAWYERS. And I was listening to them this morning when they were talking to JD, and to me, my favorite question was the one where I've been on the trail. You know, it's election season. I've been on the trail trying to get Nick Solak to first base just so I'd know he'd be in the lineup. And they asked him, can you give us any idea of your current center field and first base situation? Here's John Daniels.
Yeah, similar. I mean, Danny – we'll get the bulk of the time out there early on, especially Nick is going to continue to get some looks. You know, Scott Heinemann has played well. Leody Taveras has really played well. He's starting to come into his tools, you know, and starting to, you know, like impact the baseball more. Not saying we're going to rush to that, but that's interesting, especially with the way it looks like our ballpark is set up with the deeper center field, like that outfield defense that Leody can bring is interesting. We kind of got a little bit of a, you know, some bad news with Eli White with his oblique because he was a guy that I had likely making the club. I mean, he can really play center field. He can really run, be a really good option for Woody, either start or off the bench, and has made some strides with the bat. So, but Danny, as we sit right now, Danny will get the first look out there, the first opportunity.
He didn't tell me. He said Nick will be out there a little bit, but he didn't tell me. Can I get my guy to first base?
Yeah.
Can I get my guy to first base? Kiner Falefa we got to think about too because he's been a guy that's been absolutely mashing the ball and Sandler keeps talking. I think people are trying to trade my guy Elvis again. I think that's what's happening because people keep telling me how great Isaiah Kiner Falefa is defensively at first, second, third, short, pretty much everywhere. So I think people are trying to push my guy out of town, which I don't appreciate. But he didn't really talk about first base much, just that Danny Santana will likely get most of the center field work. The Leody Taveras part I thought was interesting and kind of exciting.
It is.
That's one of those guys that Mike and I enjoyed tearing the Rangers apart because they always tell us about these guys that are one day going to be big time in the big leagues, and he's kind of at the forefront of that movement lately. And if he's a guy that ends up ahead of schedule and could maybe even help out this team this year a little bit, that would be pretty fun for Ranger fans.
I think that JD painted a pretty interesting picture for you because he's talking about the setup of his ballpark, you know, and he said, well, I'm not going to rush the guy, but he's talking about all the traits that Taveras has. And, you know, and I think that's, you know, that's something you have to think about. That's something you, that, you know, maybe it's because you're only playing 60 games that you're thinking, all right, well, you know, we can afford to maybe give him some opportunities here. You know, I don't know. I'm all about the young player. Give me the most talented guys out there. I don't need somebody that is just going to be okay. If this guy could be special anyway defensively, give you something at the plate, you know, I think the old saying is fortune favors the bold. And I think that JD wants to be bold in that regard. And I kind of hope that he takes that step.
As long as the player's ready. Because I remember trading Michael Young because JD had to make room for Mike Olt. Yeah. Wash wouldn't take Michael Young out of the lineup. So JD was like, here, I'll do it for you.
Don't you think he's learned a little bit as a general manager, though? Do you think
that
sometimes some of the best deals you make are deals that don't go through, or maybe you made a deal and now you're like, man, I am so glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think if I had to guess from the outside looking in at JD that he has learned some things, but I think it's more so that baseball has just come around to his way, where the general manager is a big part of everything. And I think he'll still tell you, like, look, I have nothing to do with the lineup and all that. But he does. Right. I don't think they really put managers in place in baseball anymore who aren't receptive to, here's the way we kind of do it. Here's the idea we have, the guys we like. This is the trajectory we're on. And but, yeah, I bet in some ways, like, I did hear him say, like, look, you know, I'm not in the clubhouse or anything. I don't ever go there. And, you know, Corona, of course. But even without it, I normally didn't. So, yeah, I'm sure he's learned. But I think more so baseball's just come around to where your numbers guys and your GMs, they run it. I mean, look at the salaries of managers now. They're going, pew. Everything in sports is going, pew, taking off money-wise. And baseball managers are going downhill, because it's like, you know, we're gonna build the team. We're gonna, like, your job is to have the players like you and play hard.
How about now with both leagues having the designated hitter rule, how much you're really gonna have to manage? I remember, like, old Bobby Cox, who for a long time won a bunch of games with the Braves, division titles. They're asking him, hey, how's it to manage with the DH? He says, you know, go get you a ball bag over there, sit down on it, and just watch the game. That's what you need to do to manage.
Decide when your starting pitcher needs to come out.
Yeah, exactly. They did some stories about how some of these National League managers are going to miss the designated hitter, or excuse me, are going to miss the pitcher hitting. But there's some guys who are like, hey, you know, I'm okay with this. Don Mattingly's like, man, we don't score any runs. We might as well have somebody in the lineup to get hit. But I think with JD that I want to believe that through experience that he has learned. I want to believe that, you know, that he's going to have to do something to, you know, it drives me nuts all the time with, well, this guy could do this and this and this and this and this. I'm one of those guys that, hey, just play him in a spot, see if he could get better. You know, like you're talking about with Solak, if they really do believe his best position is this, play him there. Don't make him have to move around to a lot of different spots and try and figure things out. Yeah. Whatever you feel like as a general manager is his and a staff, his best position, play him there and let him try and develop there.
Problem is, I bet the place they'd really like to have him is just a corner outfield spot, and you got Willie and Joey out there.
Yeah.
So now it's like, all right, how are we going to make this fit? And I think that's the fun part of baseball, though, is fitting that puzzle. And that's why I think it's a little bit outside the box. But I think Nick Solak at first base takes out an inferior bat, and now we have a more dangerous lineup, and you can get the job done. Maybe we won't have a great defensive first baseman, but you can get the job done. So that's my dream. I'm campaigning for it, JD, if you're listening. Next, what kind of expectations should we have about Rougned Odor?
Yeah, so all very fair and accurate. I'll say this. I think Mergie was in a really good spot in spring training. And, you know, spring training is spring training. It's not regular season. He stayed here in the area the whole time. He trained here at times. He trained up in Frisco at times with some of our hitting guys. He's taking good care of himself. His body looks good. I think he's, you know, stayed home. He was very cautious with the virus, stayed home and careful with his family. He's in a really good spot right now, man. So I'm optimistic where he's at. He's, you know, hit a bomb off of Kluber yesterday. That's really, I think, like Corey's the only mistake he made the whole game. He's playing well. He made a nice play behind Minor, runner up second. It's kind of a hot smash to his left. Made a nice pick and then came up and threw the runner out, trying to go to third. How long does he get? Kind of similar question for a lot of guys. I mean, I think if it looks good and he's open-minded and he's, you know, trying to make adjustments, it'll be longer than if he's, you know, like anybody, than if he's stubborn and kind of refusing to make those adjustments.
I like how he said in that quote twice, well, you know, like anybody, but then he said things that I think apply to Rugie, where I've talked to some guys who say, look, it's not like Rugie doesn't work hard. He works. He wants to be good. It's just a matter of, are you really open to the coaching and the ideas that you're being given? Are you really open to the approach we want you to take? Are you open to learning and doing things differently? Or are you kind of locked in on, I kind of got here because I do this, and this is kind of the way I'm going to... Like, it's not like he's not getting in the cage and working. It's not that he doesn't give a lot of effort. It's just a matter of, are you open to the ideas being presented to you and doing it the way that we want you to because we think it'll get you better results? And so I think even though he said in there multiple times, well, like anybody, that he was talking about Rugie.
Yes.
And he hit another home run today. Rugie is absolutely smashing the baseball. And so now we're getting to the point, probably because we're sports starved and we want to be optimistic, that everything about Rugie right now is he's killing it.
Yeah.
He's crushing the ball. He's a good defensive player now. And now go to the Cowboys. They're awesome. Everything's going to be good. This is the optimism.
No, this is
the,
yeah,
optimism.
This is when you get, I used to get Brian brought us from training camp here. We're talking in third person, you know, and I'd come on and talk about, oh, this guy looks good. And this guy looks good. And this guy, and then the season would start and it would be like, well, Brian, you were telling us about, and you're, it's just not working out. But I think with Rugie, you know, maybe the older you get, the more you realize that you're like, you know, my way necessarily isn't the best way. You know, I need some help here. Man, when I was young, I was stubborn. I didn't want to listen. You know, somebody walked up to me and said, hey, you need to try this. What are you telling me? I'm in the majors. I don't need your advice. That happens in all sports. I've seen that on the NFL level. I've seen it on the collegiate level. You know, guys, you try and coach them and they just don't want that. It doesn't get to them. And then all of a sudden they realize it's like, you know, my way is not the best way. And Rugie might be at that point where he's had some great starts. He's fizzled along the way. You know, he can hear the criticism. He can hear the, hey, you know, he needs, you know, he makes too much money to be playing as poorly as he's playing. He goes in these huge slumps. You can't rely on him. I think as a person that would bother you. And I think Rugie has enough pride to realize that he needs to do something different. And maybe he has, according to JD, turned that corner a little bit.
All right, Lucius, let's take it to the top to cut one here, because the biggest headline today, I think, is probably that Joey Gallo is back. He is, recovered? He's no longer positive. He's no longer testing positive for the coronavirus. Yeah. He is back in the building. They're going to work him back in. So John Daniels talking about Joey Gallo's return.
Yeah, I think Joey's been good. He's been ready to go. You know, I think especially when guys are asymptomatic, it's kind of a mental challenge getting pulled out because, you know, he's never felt sick in any way. So, you know, that's obviously a good thing, but it was also confusing, I think, for the individual when you can't be doing what you want to do and you don't feel like anything's necessarily wrong. So, but, you know, you got to follow these protocols. We're not going to cut any corners. We're not going to you know, even with, you know, our best players, you just can't, not going to take any chances. So Joey was out for a little while. He tested this week twice negative on MLB's saliva test, the PCR test. We got the second result last night, and let him know. And there's some follow up with our doctors, and then follow up with MLB doctors to kind of review the all the information, and then they green lighted that he could come back and return today. So excited to have him back. He just took some BP. I think he's out shagging right now, and you know, give him a couple days to get fully back into it before I think Woody puts him in a game.
Let's go. Yeah. Joey Gallo time.
I like that. I like what Mike Bacsik was talking about too with Joey, and he was saying, hey, he was mentioning Freddie Freeman with the Braves and him coming back and him getting sick, and does he lose strength? Does he lose power? You know, with Mike was bringing up the point, hey, this is one of those things where you don't feel like that he's lost that strength or he's lost that part, or he has to make up. Right. He has these huge gains. The fact that he took some BP today, out shagging, it's not like, okay, we're going to – a lot of times you'll hear coaches or general managers say, oh, we're going to ease him back in. It sounds like to me it's like if he's cleared, he's going to go out there and Wood's going to play him in a game or in a, you know, put him in there and let him go. So I think that's a really, really positive sign that he's not going to have to go through several days of waiting to actually get some work here.
For sure. Because, you know, the virus seems to affect everybody differently.
And right.
It seems like based on what they're telling us with Joey, it basically didn't at all. It was just like, hey, you have it. And it's like, yeah, but I'm fine. It's like, right, but you can't come in here. Right, but I'm fine. Well, we'll keep testing you, and when they come up negative, you can come work out. So you take some BP, you work your way in, and I think next week you guys will be talking about Joey Gallo in the intra-squad games and Joey Gallo launching bombs, and we'll be getting ready for baseball. We will be getting ready for baseball in your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. All right, there you go. Coming up next, we will go around the NFL in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you, Lucius. A reminder, at 5:40 today, it's What You Drinking and What You Thinking right here on 105.3 The Fan. So go ahead and get a little turn up in your life over the next hour because, well, I need you slightly coherent, but we'll be taking your phone calls at 877-881-1053, and there's only one rule, and that's that you tell us what you're drinking and what you're thinking. Excited to hear from you at 5:40, but right now we go around the NFL and the G-Bag Nation. Looking to Brian on first down. Whee!
Thank you very much, Jeffrey. Well, it looks like the Seahawks have jumped into the Jamal Adams trade talks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have an unconfirmed rumor. Are you ready for a rumor mongering?
Go for it.
Somebody that's a Tolo texted in and said, I think Jamal Adams is three holes behind me on the golf course right now in DFW. But, I mean, he's always here, so.
He's always here.
It means nothing. But Jamal Adams in town still.
I wish you could play in a foursome with Jamal Adams. That'd be kind of fun.
Depends how good he is. I don't want to play with him if he's shooting a 138 or something. Actually, I don't mind if you're bad.
Let me ask you this.
I just care if you play slow. Like, I can't have standing over a putt for a minute and 45 seconds.
Are you a pickup golfer? I mean, when I mean pickup, if you're hacking, do you just pick it up? Like, when you get to eight, do you just stop?
It's a rare thing, but yes, if I get that high, I'll pick it up and give myself a triple, but I try not to do that because I'm trying to keep my real score. You're
trying to get a handicap?
Yeah, and luckily those are rare, but a couple of rounds ago I did have one where I think my second shot went OB, I dropped it, and then I hit it in the water, and it was a par four, and I just picked it up, and I was like, there's no point, guys. I'm about to fire a 13.
Yeah, you just went up there and helped, you know, like pulled the pin for everybody else.
I didn't do anything. No, I sat in the cart.
Sat in the cart, looked at your phone.
I won't. If it's real hot outside, after I tee off, I'll go sit in my cart. I won't watch you guys tee off, and when my putt goes in, or if I'm not going to the green, I don't go to the green.
So you're not a helper of, like, nope. If somebody's hitting tee shots, you're not helping with the ball?
No. Nah. What do they need my help for? They're teeing off. Put the ball on the ground, hit as far as you
no,
can.
No, no, no. Helping, like, oh, the ball went over there. Like, you know, your eyes, extra set of eyes.
If it were a special request, I would do it. Because I will tell you this. I'm not good at golf. I have as good of eyes as there are on this planet. I'll see it. I see it. You know, it could be 260 yards down the fairway, and they're like, oh, I hope it didn't go in the trap. And I'm like, no, it didn't. It's front left of it, about 3 feet. I got you. All but right. No, if it's hot outside, usually starting on about the 12th hole during the summer, once I hit mine, I'm in the cart.
Jeez.
That's where I am.
That's amazing.
That's where you can find me.
And
do you know how hot it is?
Oh, trust me. I played golf. You almost died that one time knowing how hot it was.
You couldn't even get your Fuzzy's tacos.
I could, man. I was so dehydrated. It was terrible. But, yeah, anyway, Jamal Adams, if you're out there playing golf, enjoy the day. Drink water. But, yeah, they're talking about the Seahawks are into this the mix. Russell Wilson has a quarterback passing academy kind of a thing. And so Jake Heaps is one of his coaches. Is talking about, he said, hey, these guys, he must be talking to Russell Wilson about this, because he went on and said that they've talked to the Jets about the possibility of trading. This comes from 710 there in Seattle. But the league sources are confirming that the Seahawks are indeed among the teams who have inquired about the availability. So I wouldn't be surprised. Seahawks wouldn't surprise me.
I think Jamal screwed this whole thing up, with all due respect.
Like, shouldn't have jumped in there on the Dallas thing, right?
Right.
Like, don't draw Dallas in there.
He wants out, but we were talking to Joel Corey yesterday, and he said the worst thing that a player can do if he wants to be traded is make it public that he wants to be traded, because now teams are going to try to lowball the other team, and if you're not only trying to make noise within your own organization and try to make people mad and try to get moved, once you start campaigning for one team, and that team's going to look at you and be like, now, what kind of precedent are we setting if we give him exactly what he wants? Not only does he want out when we have team control of him for 2 more years plus tags, so 3 or 4 more years, so now other guys are just going to be like, well, I want what he got. I want to go where I want to go. No, we're not going to do that for you. I hope they do, but I think once you made it very clear you wanted out, and then exactly where you wanted to go. Like in basketball, that started working.
Mm-hmm.
But it works towards the end of a contract when there are no franchise tags, because you can say, look, that's where I'm going. Like in basketball, you could say, look, in 12 months from now, I'm going there. And I'm telling you that. So trade me there. Get something back for me. Otherwise, you're going to get nothing because I'm leaving. In football, it's so much harder because they can be like, right, we got 2 years left plus a tag, maybe another tag. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to play football.
If I was Joe Douglas, I wouldn't have sent him to any of those teams he wanted. Well, I still wouldn't. I would say, okay, listen, I have a chance for you to go to Cincinnati if you're interested. You know, if you're interested, you can go to Cincinnati, or we can work out a deal here. Which would you like to do?
Cincinnati might be a fun young team.
I was still with a team that was the worst last year. That's why I threw him out there. But
yeah.
But you know, I'm not trading him to somebody, because all those teams that he was asking for, every single one of them are potential playoff teams. The picks.
Oh yeah, he wants the cream of the crop. He wants the best teams in football. You're not gonna Dallas.
Oh, like, well, yeah, we'll take a one for him. Well, it's almost like taking a two. You know, so if I'm the Jets, I'm very mindful of getting the maximum value I can out of that. I'm not just interested in sending him away just because he needs to be sent away.
I'm going to borrow the ball from you here for second down.
Okay.
Ian Rappaport reporting that Tampa Bay Buccaneers pass rusher Shaq Barrett. Am I crazy or off the top of my head, did he have like 18 or 19 sacks?
He's pretty, pretty.
Shaq Barrett, he's signing his franchise tag. And he's filed his grievance that he should be tagged as a defensive end, not a linebacker, according to Drew Rosenhaus. So the way they do this is so messed up, and they just got to catch up. We do this in our draft work now, where just call him an edge player. Mm-hmm. That's what they are. Because if linebacker in today's NFL is one of the two guys that's lined up 4-5 yards off the line of scrimmage back there, and they play coverage or they play the run and they play their gap, and the guys who are in a 3-4 and playing there overhanging, and they're going to call you an outside linebacker, but you're a pass rusher. Defensive ends are pass rushers. I'm a pass rusher. Don't call me a linebacker, because it's not true. The job description of linebacker is the dudes back there. I'm doing the same job a defensive end does. I'm a pass rusher. The NFL, the players got to get them to update that. That's all that is. Because right now, they're allowed to call things. In Pro Bowl, too. In the Pro Bowl, all the guys who make it at linebacker, or the vast majority of them, mm-hmm. are pass rushers.
Pass rushers.
Von Miller makes it, linebacker. Like, no, don't put him with the linebackers. He's right. A pass rusher. He's not a linebacker. It's just a weird deal. So now Shaq Barrett is going to have to do that fight because they're trying to tag him as a linebacker because that number is lower, because linebackers aren't pass rushers. That's why the number's lower. So he's going to fight to try to get paid as a defensive end. I don't know how that plays out. Are you allowed to meet in the middle? Can you, or are you just going to have to go through it? And
I think they're going to have to hear. I think the league looks at each individual. I was trying to remember some of that. We've seen some of these cases before.
Yeah.
With guys getting tagged and the league says, no, this is what you are, kind of a thing. So I think it's a case by case situation. I what I'm finding interesting, and it's funny because Prince sent me a text. He's like, he saw the same tweet you did. And he's thinking, like, okay, why wasn't Dak Prescott's name? Because there was a tweet about a lot of guys might be just playing on the one-year tags because of the uncertainty with the financial situations, with the coronavirus and stuff like that. So you might be seeing a lot of teams, just guys playing on one-year deals. And, you know, he mentioned, hey, I didn't see Dak's name as being one of the mentioned things. So maybe speculation that we might be close. I don't know. We've got to... I did check. We have till Wednesday at 3 p.m. Before we have to make a determination. Or Dak's 15th. People. Yeah, the 15th. So it's around
Shaq Barrett makes sense to franchise tag, though. You want to hear Shaq Barrett's career real quick?
Oh, sure.
Started in Denver in 2014. I'm going to give you his sack numbers by year. 0, 5.5, 1.5, 4. 3, 19.5.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with this if I'm Tampa? Am I supposed to just give you a $100 million deal?
No.
You just, 19.5, where did this come from? That's more than the rest of your career combined by far. I would have no idea what to do with that contract. No idea.
Well, the thing that you do, you always just worry about that because there's so much, there's that consistency of where was this? Was it something that we've done with him? Is it something? Is it a technique? Was he hurt? You know, what was holding him back? You know, it might have been coaching. You know, it might have been the scheme. It might have been how they were using him. You know, I mean, that would be scary to have to deal with. That would be. I would be very. I don't think I could extend him. I just don't. I think I'd have to let him play on the tag and see where we're at. Okay, I'll pay you. I'll pay you for the tag, but I am not going to pay you and have you roll out there and get me 2.5 sacks next year after I pay you.
Also, I saw this story, which is very unfortunate. Did you see that Shea Patterson, the Michigan
quarterback? They brought back my guy Moore.
The Chiefs agreed to terms with Matt Moore. Yeah. And so now the quarterback room is Pat Mahomes, Matt Moore, Chad Henne, and Jordan Tamu?
The kid from Mississippi?
Yeah.
I always
mess
up his name, too.
But so whatever Matt Moore was doing, just hanging out, I guess, and the Chiefs called him up and went ahead and picked him up. And poor Shea Patterson, who they signed as an undrafted free agent, they're going to call him up before they ever even meet him because I bet he hasn't even been in a facility yet. And they're like, hey, I know we picked you up and we signed you, but we're gonna let you go.
You know,
can I get on the field?
That, you know, this is
Shea Patterson will never play in the NFL, but no. Still.
But this might be something that came from Mahomes. You know, as you look at it, this might be one of those things that
go get Matt Moore back in.
Yeah, here? Yeah. That you know, when you get a guy that a quarterback that feels totally comfortable with his backup, and he feels Henne's been around, but. Sometimes these quarterbacks, these starting quarterbacks, especially the young ones, they grow comfortable being around a guy. Dak Prescott was totally comfortable with Mark Sanchez. And Mark Sanchez was really no threat to him, but Mark Sanchez helped him so much along the way. And maybe Moore was one of those guys that was always there and kind of answering the questions when, you know, he needed the answers. And he said, hey, listen, would you guys please bring him back? I talked to him the other day. He wants to come back.
he'd love another check.
He'd love it. Yeah, he just, you know, and then Andy and you know, Veach and Clark Judge go, okay, we'll do it for you. We'll do it for you, Pat.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Around the NFL every day at this time in the G-Bag Nation. Coming up next, it is time for a little Cowboys Twitter reminder. We've got Andrew Brandt coming up at 5:20. He can talk all things front office, contracts, Dak Prescott. That's coming up at 5:20. But before we get there, it is time for some Cowboys Twitter. They got to score more touchdowns. Who should they steal from? It's next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.